You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Huge baseball game tonight. We're 5 minutes away from breaking it down. This is a great pitching matchup, too. Gerrit Cole and Blake Snell on the mound for the Yankees and the Rays. A game you can hear right here at 8 o'clock on 98.7, following a one-hour pregame from our very own Chris Carlin, starting at 7 o'clock following the Michael Kay Show. Let's go to a couple calls quickly. We'll get to Yankees and Rays immediately following. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Chris Rick? I called 2 weeks ago after the Bears game saying that the Giants, it was all the offense's fault and the offense is the issue. I couldn't call last week because I was reeling after that 49ers game. I don't even understand how Dave was even able to do radio after that. I was distraught. But this game showed me the defense can play and that defensive coach can make adjustments. Jason, yeah, I tried to say it 2 weeks ago, but I'll say it again. Jason Garrett's system only works is if every single offensive position is ranked in the top five, and then a quarterback needs to be above average, and he still underperforms with that team. Dave Gettleman's out, obviously. I think Joe Judge gets another round. I think the defensive coordinator looks like he's maximizing the talent on defense. Jason Garrett has to go with Dave Gettleman. And that's what we got to do moving forward.
Time out. Maximizing the talent. Time out. Maximizing the talent on defense. It was one game. He got shredded by Nick Mullins. I mean, let's relax for a quick second.
Nick Mullins was yanked from a game last night.
They came in ranked fourth before that Nick Mullins game. I understand that. But that's what I'm saying with Kyle Shanahan. He schemes his way into winning anything. We don't have an offensive coordinator, and we never had, that can maximize the talent.
Well, I don't know how good your scheme is going to be if your offensive line is as bad as the Giants' offensive line is.
True, but
how good is your scheme going to be?
Dave Gettleman put together one of the worst freaking offensive lines I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay. So your offensive coordinator is limited in terms of the things that he can do. You can't run deeper route combinations if your offensive line can't hold up in pass protection.
But we've seen him for 9 years with the Dallas Cowboys. What has he done when he's had – when everyone's considered a top five offensive line.
You make it sound like
their offense has been really, really good down in Dallas. The offense in Dallas under Jason Garrett has been really, really good. So I don't know where you're making this claim that Jason Garrett doesn't know what the hell he's doing in terms of calling plays.
I'm just saying it underperforms with the talent level. What do they do? They go 8-8, they go 9-7.
Honestly, Dempsey, and I think Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. Do you think he comes in here and all of a sudden the Giants are running up and down the field? I mean, the guys, they don't have a lot of talent on offense.
I think but here's the thing, though. I don't think it's fair to judge Jason Garrett yet. I mean, you could tell what he was doing yesterday. He's trying to protect his young quarterback. I mean, there's only so many things you can draw up. I mean, how many shots can you take down the field if your offensive line can't hold up? It doesn't work. Get the guy killed.
And so we're at the point where move on from Gettleman, move on from Judge, and move on from – I mean, you just want to clean house all four games in?
Well,
the coaching staff is brand new.
You had the opportunity to do that, and you decided not to.
The coaching staff is brand new. Can we calm down a
little bit?
Coaching staff
is brand new. Yeah, brand new. You're four games in with no off-seasons and OTAs or anything else. No preseason games. Relax.
And they're not
a good
football
team. We can say whatever we want to say about Jason Garrett as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett – in 14 years coaching in the NFL, has had 8 top 10 offenses. 8. So I'm pretty sure Jason Garrett knows offense. But again, I come back to the issue with the Giants' offensive line. You're going to be limited. Your quarterback has to throw the ball quickly. Because guess what? The offensive line ain't going to give them a whole lot of time to sit back there in the pocket and diagnose the field. That's just not going to happen. So I don't understand how dynamic you want the offense to be if your offensive line is not very good and you can't consistently run the football.
What player do you have that's dynamic?
Evan Ingram's supposed to be dynamic.
He's not. Let me tell you, he's not.
I mean, that's what you expected when you drafted him in the first round. But again, I mean, you haven't seen it yet.
Well, shows you never flashes. See it.
You flashes, but there's
not
no
here.
Consistency.
He won't.
No.
The best weapon he's got is Darius Slayton. That's the best weapon Daniel Jones has to work with.
Dropped a big pass yesterday too.
Yeah.
did not play well. Giants are limited offensively. We didn't think they would be, but right now they're limited.
They're not supposed to be limited, Dave. Well, offense is supposed to be their identity. They're not supposed to be limited on that side of the ball. We said coming into this year, if the Giants are going to be competitive, the offense is going to have to win today.
Yeah, but that was
the offense was far decent.
from that.
That was before Saquon got hurt, though. I mean, that's got to change a little bit.
If the offense was decent, we'd be looking
at a 2-2
football
team right
now. Yeah,
that's
got to
change a little bit, Rick, that's got to change a little bit with Saquon Barkley going down, but you still see the investments that they've made on that side of the ball with cap dollars and draft capital. The offense is supposed to be ahead of the defense with the New York Giants. The offense is supposed to be the reason why you're in games, not the defense.
Yeah.
And it's
the
other way around.
If the offense was decent, you'd be 2-2 right now, at least.
It's exactly it, yeah.
And you're not. Yeah. You're 0-4. James in the Bronx. James, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? CeCe, what up, man?
James.
What's going on, bro? What's happening?
I just want to say two chilling, brother. I just want to say two things. CC, check out the Brick City Lions, bro. We're going to take it all the way this year.
All right.
But the second thing, Lewis Riddick. Let's just stop playing and get Lewis Riddick in here, and let's see what he could do because he's very smart, very intelligent, and know what he's talking about. What do y'all think about that?
I think everybody's on board with Lewis Riddick.
Football job. I mean, that's who you should have hired in the first place.
I think he's terrific.
Well, I mean, to Chris's point, I mean, listen, who knows who it ends up being, but I think Chris makes the best point. You need a fresh set of eyes.
Yes.
That has no attachment to
what you see
in the field.
I could not agree with you guys more. You need to look outside the organization at a legitimate football mind and not, well, this guy, you know, once scouted with us, so we know him, we feel good about him. I don't, enough of that at this point.
Because I just feel like everybody in the building, Dave, is culpable in this. Everybody has a hand in making the Giants as bad as it's been over the course of the last four seasons. And I don't know if I necessarily want to promote somebody in-house knowing that the record the last 4 years has been the worst in football.
You can't.
You know what I mean? I just that doesn't make sense to me. Seems, I don't know, man. I guess incestuous would be the word. I feel like you got to go a different direction.
Because you do. Because it's so obvious, Chris. Whatever they have done. Yeah. Everybody involved at the scouting, at the planning, at the drafting level has failed. Whether you want to be honest about it or not, they have. All right? This is a team that has been rebuilding for years now at this point. It's time for a fresh set of eyes, like you guys have said. That's right. That's what you have to do. Now, will they? I don't know. But that is clear and obvious to me that that's what you should do.
Yeah, I
agree with both of you. I mean, that you can't have anyone making decisions that has any attachment to what you see to any of what you see in the field right now.
Like, would the Giants be willing to go that direction, knowing that that person is probably going to want to change a lot of the things that have been going on?
But
for
isn't
the
that good?
Part of the last decade?
Don't we want to change what's been going on for the last decade?
Yeah, I understand, Dave. I understand exactly what you're saying, but again, a part of why Gettleman got the job is because he understood Giants DNA and he knew that ownership would be involved in a lot of the decisions that are going to be made. Is ownership ready to pivot off of that position? And when I say ownership, I mean John Mara. Is he ready to pivot off of that position? Is Chris Mara going to be as involved with personnel decisions as he is right now? I don't know. Nobody has the answer to that question.
It has. I mean, to succeed, you have to be ready to move on in a different direction. You have to be. Otherwise, you're just going to go cyclically around and play this game again.
I think somebody that they should also keep an eye out for is Ed Dodds, the assistant GM that's out there with the Indianapolis Colts. I think he's somebody that people are going to be looking at to be a general manager, and clearly he knows how to put a football team together. There are going to be qualified candidates out there. Lewis Riddick is definitely going to be another name. But, I mean, I feel like there are other people outside of the organization that could come in and put the Giants on the right track and build – the kind of foundation that you need, put in place the infrastructure so you can draft and develop your players. Because that's the biggest thing that the Giants haven't been doing the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't. You got to draft well and you got to develop your players. They haven't done a good job of either.
First round, second round, third round should all be contributing. And there's way too many guys who are not contributing on this roster from the early picks. All right, today on ESPN Daily.
What screwed this entire process up? I mean, you keep saying they've been rebuilding for years. That wasn't initially the intention wasn't to initially rebuild. It was to reload for Eli. That's what set you back. I mean, if you go into the draft with the second overall pick, with as many teams as many teams that needed a quarterback that were going to be willing to trade up to take the quarterback that they wanted, and you were actually rebuilding, there's no way you take a running back with a second overall pick.
Yeah, of course.
You do exactly what Indianapolis did. And you got Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. I mean,
you could have loaded up. We know this. We've been over this a million times. They thought that they could, for some foolish, you know, Shangri-La, Eli has one more magical run if we give him just a terrific running back. It's laughable. It's laughable is what it is. That they thought they were one stud running back away.
But that's when that's when bad decisions were made.
Yeah, but that's 3 years ago now.
No, but you're still paying the price. I mean, you're still paying Nate Solder, are you? And he's not even playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you still made decisions in that moment to try to, rather than to rebuild it the right way, you look for quick fixes that didn't work out.
None of them.
I mean, Solder hasn't worked out. You paid him a ton of money. I mean, unfortunately, you're wasting the prime years of Saquon Barkley because you're not winning any football games. Now he tears his ACL. Omame didn't work out.
Ugh. Ogletree. I mean, the list goes on forever.
But you're making, I mean, those are moves that, I mean, you probably don't make if the marching orders are different from ownership. I mean, like you almost forced into making moves like that because they're saying, hey, we want to win with Eli. Well, what does he need? I need to plug some holes in the offensive line, and if Saquon Barkley can be a dynamic wide receiver,
listen, you're
dynamic
right.
Running
I mean,
back
they
with
could
Odell.
Never come to grips that it was over with Eli Manning, that he wasn't that good anymore, and you couldn't build this superpower team around him. And they tried, and they forced it, and it didn't work, and it blew up on their face, and now you're years later, and it's still an absolute mess.
Yeah, you continue to pay the price for it.
That's the truth. Today on ESPN Daily, the impact of COVID-19 on NFL schedules and rosters, plus the state of the NFC East through four Sundays of action. That should be a great listen. On ESPN Daily, subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so tonight, 8 o'clock, right here, 98.7 ESPN. Chris, I mean, this is it. Yankees, Rays, best of five, pitching matchup, teams that don't like each other. I mean, this has all the feels. This is going to be a great series.
No, it's going to be awesome, Dave. And let's not forget how the regular season finale, their series finale ended. I mean, it was talking about Kevin Cash saying he's got a stable full of guys that throw 98. And that was coming off of what Aroldis Chapman did to Mike Brissot and Austin Meadows. So this is going to be spicy for a lot of different reasons. They've had our number all this year. We've only won 2 out of 10 matchups. First time the two teams are getting together in the postseason. So I'm excited for it, man. I'm nervous, but I'm excited for it as well. Should be a great series.
Rick, I've heard a lot of people say this is obviously it's not must win, but I've heard, you know, that kind of force, this is a must win. This is a big game for the Yankees. You trot out Gerrit Cole, you can't afford to lose this game, and then they haven't even announced a starter for game 2. This is a really, really big game for the Yankees.
It's an important game. Yeah. This is absolutely an important game. I mean, you go into the series thinking that the Yankees have the advantage in the bullpen, and I don't think that's necessarily the case, especially with what you saw in the Cleveland series. Like who Aaron Boone actually trusts, and Kay calls it the circle of trust. It feels like it's three guys right now at the moment. So the guy who's going to give you length with the starters is going to be Gerrit Cole. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. This is an important game. It's a 5-game series. It should be a 7-game series. I mean, shame on Major League Baseball for doing this stupid bracket garbage nonsense. I'd be pissed if I was Tampa right now. But, yeah, this is the one. I mean, this is how many guys need to say it. This is why we paid Gerrit Cole all the money, was for these games.
Yep. So go out there, give me 7 innings of 1-run ball. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be, I don't know if it has to be 7 with 1-run ball.
But you know what? Go out there, and at the end of the start, have us saying, like, wow, you know what? That's Gerrit Cole.
And here's the one thing I do like for the Yankees is the fact that I hate playing the game because there's not a lot of teams that can do it, that can flip a switch. But apparently what you saw in Cleveland, I mean, you can say what you want about Cleveland. Maybe they were overrated or whatever it is. I don't care. They flipped the switch because they look like a completely different team. They're finally healthy now. They hadn't been healthy for a lot of this season when they played these Rays games, lost a lot of close games. I mean, the Rays were 5-1 in the six games decided by 2 or less runs. So they were close games. And the fact that this isn't a neutral site, like this isn't the Yankees having to win games in Tampa where they struggled. This is, you know, we're off to San Diego. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask you about that, Rico, because Eduardo Perez brought that up on KJZ this morning. He was saying that he felt like Petco Park was advantage Rays in terms of their lineup versus the Yankees lineup.
That may be the case just for how the park sets up. I just mean it just changes scenery. Yeah. Like this isn't like, because I think there's something to be said. Like there are certain places, like for example, like playing in Carolina, I could be on a, you know, 5-game streak where I've let in, you know, 3 goals in 5 games, and then for some reason we go into Carolina, I get shelled and pulled, and it's like there's just places I didn't play well. And this year, the Yankees have struggled in Tampa. And, you know, lucky for them that there's no games in Tampa.
So this is question for you, Rick. You probably know the answer to this. The Rays, I guess it works that the Rays are home for the first two and then game five?
It was the same thing, yeah. The Rays get the home locker room, so the Rays get the Padres locker room, and then they're home 1-2.
And five.
And five, yeah.
And then the Yankees bat in the bottom of the first in games 3 and 4.
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. That's what I figure. But, Chris, do you agree with this, that this is a huge game, more so for the Yankees than the Rays tonight?
I mean, yeah, this is a big game. You want Gerrit Cole to go out there and set the tone, and the fact that the Rays have been able to touch him up a little bit is a concern. I mean, 5 of the 14 home runs he's given up this year have come from the Rays lineup. So, yeah, Gerrit Cole needs to go out there and pitch well. I mean, he did it in the wild card series, and we're expecting him to do it again. This is a big game. You know, if you can go out there and you can get a win in this game, you're putting a lot of pressure on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, you got to find a way. Gerrit Cole, I mean, his arch nemesis has been G-Man Choi. Like, he's got to negotiate him in the lineup because he's.
Well, here's the other part about that, Rico. I mean, you just look at what happens in Game 2 and Game 3. I mean, undoubtedly, you're probably talking about a better pitcher taking the mound for the Rays in those games than the Yankees.
Yeah, you're probably right. Dangerous though.
No, you're probably right. But I think, I mean, what we've seen. I mean, even, you know, Snell was unbelievable in his first start of the postseason. But I mean, they have a quick hook because I mean, Cash can't wait to get to his stable of relievers and matchups and everything else. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. I hope it comes down to that.
I hope it becomes a game of bullpens because it should be advantage Yankees, right?
No, yeah, but the Rays bullpen is good.
The Rays bullpen and how he matches up has been really good. It concerns me. Here's what would concern me a little bit is that outside of Gerrit Cole, who I think gives you length, fingers crossed gives you length, they'll have a quick hook with Tanaka. They'll have a quick hook with Happ, quick hook with Garcia, quick hook with Montgomery. And if you only trust Green, Chapman, Britton,
yep.
That's not enough.
Well, he told you in the series against Cleveland he doesn't trust Ottavino.
Ottavino needs like the perfect sort. Like he needs a clean inning in the lane he needs to be in for him to feel good about using him. And I don't think Chad Green has been as dominant as usual either. He's been fine, but he hasn't been. I mean, he hasn't been lights out. There'll be a lot of emphasis on like the decision making with managers in the series.
No off days adds a degree of difficulty to this thing too. Like not being able to rest guys, not having a chance to reset the pen, like no off days. That's another challenge that you typically won't see in a postseason.
And that's why convincing wins are huge in this series.
Huge.
If you're the Yankees, you could jump out to a 5-1 lead or a 6-1 lead in a game like this and not have to use a ton of Britton, a ton of Chapman, because you know you're going to have to tomorrow, and you know you're going to have to Wednesday and Thursday. And then if it comes down to a game 5, you can bring Cole back on short rest. I mean, this game, really, I don't think you can overstate it. This is a huge game for the Yankees tonight, not only in winning, but how they go about winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, this will set the tone. I mean, this will, even with how you decide, I mean, how you're forced to use your bullpen and how that limits you in games two and games three. And listen, Tampa puts pressure on you. I mean, from start to finish. I mean, they'll put balls in play. They'll run the bases well. They're good defensively. They'll steal bases if they have to. I mean, that's what makes them a tough out, man. They'll put pressure on you the entire game.
They're a terrific baseball team. They are. They're a terrific baseball team.
Yeah, they're a well put together baseball team.
They're well managed.
Absolutely.
Their starting staff is good. Their bullpen is good. They're timely hitting. They play the game the right way. They field the ball well. They're analytically driven. Like they do everything well. Really.
Yeah, the Yankees are gonna have to play clean baseball.
Yeah.
Which is something that they've struggled with. I mean, against the Indians, they were good, but I mean, during the course of the season, they were awful defensively.
You can't afford to give the Rays extra outs. You just can't. Not with this lineup. This is a different animal than the Indians.
Well, especially with no days off. I mean, that for me is going to become the trickiest part of this whole thing.
It's huge.
Because I know we always call, recently we said that, you know, managers in baseball are middle managers because of the analytics and everything else. I mean, there's going to have to be some gut moves made in a series like this. Because you're going to have to go to guys that you're not... You're going to have to go to guys that maybe analytics tell you that you shouldn't trust.
That's
but because
right.
You're going
to need guys that you haven't counted on all year to step up in
step
big
up.
Spots in this series.
Absolutely.
You know? You're going to have pitchers, relief pitchers especially. That's what you're going to need.
Yeah, you're going to need one of your starting pitchers to step up and have a game too.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to. I mean, it could at least give
you're,
you.
You're,
even if
you're right. You're going to need Hap to give you 6 1/3 of really solid baseball. You're going to need that. Because Cole's got to be great. Like the thing, you know, Chapman's got to be great. Britton's got to be great. Cole's got to be great. We know those things going in. But in addition to that, you're going to need other guys, a second, you know, starting pitcher, if not a second and third starting pitcher, to come out and pitch well in this series. Because otherwise, you're not going to win it.
That's a huge test. I mean, this is a legitimate test for this Yankees team.
I don't know if you guys feel like this. To me, this is the American League Championship Series. I mean, I give Oakland a chance if they get by Houston to beat either of these teams. But realistically, in my mind, this is the ALCS.
Yeah, I see it the same way, Dave. If we can get past this one, the Yankees are going to the World Series. That's how I feel about it.
And let's be
but
honest.
I don't know whether or not to like the fact that it's a shorter series. Like, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the fact that it's a 5-game series as opposed to 7. I don't know how to feel about that.
I wouldn't love it. Because you're only going to, I mean, realistically, you're only going to get, I mean, your best weapon, you're only going to see him once in the series. As opposed to getting a chance to see him twice in a 7-game series. I mean, Gerrit Cole's going to pitch, we'd imagine, pitch
You don't think
once,
he would
right?
pitch on short rest if
he'll
he got to a game five?
He'll start game five.
Yeah, okay, he'll start game five, but he's not going to be at his, I mean, I would imagine he's probably not going to be at his best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would favor, if I was the Yankees, I would favor having a 7-game series.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that's not the case. Cause
this is what it
is,
you know? I mean, the Yankees are the Rays. This is the hand you're dealt, and go make the best of it.
No, listen, I don't disagree with you. I'm just, I mean, if we're going to sit here and say that you feel like this is the championship series, then it should be a 7-game series.
I would love to see that. I think it'd be great, but it's not. It's going to be a great series.
Well, it seems ridiculous to me. Like, are we that infatuated with brackets that we need to come up with this fugazi bracket where the team with the best record doesn't get to play the team with the worst record in a neutral site? So what exactly is the advantage for the Rays?
They have none.
None.
No advantage.
They have absolutely no advantage in this series, unless you consider, you know, batting last, being the home team 3 times in a stadium with no fans as an advantage.
No, it's asinine. It's ridiculous.
Right. There's no advantage. None.
I couldn't hate this bracket thing more.
If I'm the Rays and I'm playing Houston right now, who I just and I know that they're, you know, they're a clutch team, and I like Dusty Baker. If I'm playing Houston right now, I think they would run through them.
Yeah, but that's the benefit of being the number one seed.
That's what I'm saying.
This is ridiculous.
You're playing Houston. You beat them in 4, and then you're rested for a series. And the Yankees should go up against a tougher opponent in Oakland. But
I don't care what they say. And listen, I don't care what the rhetoric coming out of their clubhouse is. You know, but 8-2 and everything else. They don't feel great about that 8-2. They're not. They didn't see this Yankees team. In the
great
10 games.
It's going to be a great
series. Well, I thought Kevin Kiermaier came out and said that didn't matter. Thought he said what they did in the regular season doesn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Because it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It means
they don't like each other, though.
I think that's great.
The thing that you got out of their regular season games. They don't like each other.
Which is
the fact
good
that you
baseball.
Had that kind of tension in a postseason game. I love it.
Love it.
I love it.
I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. How annoyed would you be if you're commuting to work this morning? You're on, I don't even know what the road is, a major highway in Boston, and they shut down 4 lanes of traffic so that the Patriots buses can rush their way to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, you're not upset at all. You're a Patriots fan.
Exactly. Oh, I was like, what?
You're livid.
You're upset because they're traveling. You're upset
you had to sit
because
in
they have
45 minutes of traffic, so they shut down the highway so the Patriots can get to the airport?
Yeah, you want to see your team get there as soon as possible. I mean, you're already upset that there's going to be no Cam Newton. I got to watch Brian Hoyer, and on top of it, they're leaving day of game. Hey, you suck it up at that point. That's why you have a pee bottle. You're sitting
you
wait.
Multiple.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a lot of Patriots fans that are upset because they got to sit in traffic to teams going to the airport, Dave. I just don't. They've given them 6 Super Bowl championships in the last 20 years. I think they're good.
All right.
Come on, Dave. Stop it.
Yeah.
All right.
If that was the Giants, yeah, I mean, you'd be at the front.
I wouldn't mind.
Out of your car, stopping traffic.
You're trying to get to work by 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden,
that's a great excuse.
I think, yeah, I'm about to say, if you tell your boss that you were caught up in that traffic from the Patriots buses going to the airport, I think your boss would be cool with that in Boston. Just saying.
Yeah, maybe you don't even show up.
Just turn around and go
right?
Back.
Turn around and go back.
Bill
couldn't,
Belichick.
Couldn't make it in, sorry.
Just mention Bill Belichick. Yeah, I mean, that's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Bill Belichick.
Forever. All right, so again, Yankees tonight. Carlin starts at 7 o'clock right after the Kay Show. Kay's only been covering the Yankees for, like 30 years. So Kay from 2:55 to 7 today. Then it's Carlin from 7 to 8, a little pregame show. Then Yankees game one, Snell, Cole. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not even, I mean, obviously it's our local team, so I'm into it because of that. You don't even have to be a fan of the Yankees or the Rays to be into the series. This series has so many different things that are enticing. The pitching matchup tonight is sensational. I mean, you could argue these.
Yeah, but for the casual, but for the casual fan, what they're intrigued by is the animosity.
Which is great.
Yeah, which adds is, another layer.
Because these two teams do not like each other.
Yeah, I mean that's what draws you into it. I mean, us baseball nerds are going to love the pitching matchup and everything else, but the fact that these two teams hate each other,
I love it.
That's what the casual fan loves.
Love it. How could you not? I mean, the Astros can't stand the A's, the Yankees and Rays can't stand each other. I mean, there's a lot of legitimate, you know, division rivalry animosity in these four, you know, divisional series coming up. A
lot of tension. Lots of tension.
Love it. Love it. All right, so.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, too, though, Dave. When you start looking at the series, you know, I would say you start pointing at, you know, reasons why the Yankees would win or reason why Tampa would win. And one of the big things we kept talking about is how bad the Yankees were on the road. And they were, I mean, they were noticeably bad on the road. Like 12 and 18, the offensive numbers were just, I mean.
Bad, yes.
Night and day. But, I mean, how do you, you almost have to dismiss those, don't you, after what you saw in Cleveland?
Yes, in some way, but this is different. I mean, this Rays team.
Why is it different, though?
I think the Rays are considerably better than Cleveland.
That's fine, but I don't care how bad you think the AL Central was. You got a guy who won the Triple Crown, and you got, I mean, in leading into that game, Cookie Carrasco had been lights out. Those are still two of the better pitchers. I mean, you still saw two of the better pitchers in baseball.
You're right. I mean, what they did to Bieber was much more impressive in my mind than what they did to Carrasco. And I know Carrasco is good, but Bieber was the best pitcher in baseball.
But in general, though, those were the firsts. Like, how many saves had Brad Hand blown? None until that series. How many? And you got to call him Richard Vaughn. Like, if you start giving up home runs, you can't be Rick Vaughn. It's Richard, because that's how you're pitching. I mean, how many home runs he? Well, none until then. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, we weren't the blind sisters of the poor. That was a good Cleveland team.
You beat up on what we thought was a good baseball team. But I still think there are probably some people, and I think I'm included in that, who say, "Let me see you do it against the Rays." You go out there and do that against the Rays, and I'm completely sold.
Yeah, I listen. I agree with you. I need to see it, but I'm almost leaning towards now what we saw for the 60 games because of the injuries and everything else. I can't put as much stock in those 60 games. Because the team wasn't healthy, the team wasn't right, and apparently, you know, they can flip the switch when it comes to postseason baseball. Because that's
so you're dismissing the 5-15 stretch they went through that 20.
I think I am.
Okay.
I think I have to. But you could.
Here's
my choice.
You can dismiss that, and you could still lose this series to the Rays.
No, you're not wrong.
Right. I mean, the Rays are really good.
No, the Rays are really good. But I think, I mean, I'm not gonna. I understand they struggled. In the fact that they, you know, the Rays were 8-2, I get it. I mean, that would lead a lot of people to lean towards the Rays. The Yankees team I saw play against Cleveland felt like a different team to me than we've seen.
But I guess that's the part that gives me a little bit of trepidation about the Yankees going into this series. It's because I know who the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be, because they've been that same team the entire year. Like I don't know which version of the Yankees we're going to get. We're going to see. I don't. I'm hoping that we see the group that was in Cleveland last week. But I just don't know which group is going to show up. And that's me saying that as a fan. Like, I don't trust this team.
Well, here's a couple things that I do. Here's a couple things that I do know, though, is Gerrit Cole's track record he's been really good. And mm-hmm. He was good in game one. Tanaka, in the postseason, his ERA before that game was 1.76. His track record in the postseason, he's been very good. He was bad. He wasn't good in game two.
Nope. No, he wasn't.
So I would expect him to be better. Cole to be Tanaka to be better. And now this is you're probably hoping for a shorter series because now this is when we start rolling the dice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With what are you going to get from Hap, Montgomery, and Garcia?
Yeah.
Question marks.
And I think the longer the series goes, too, and the more you have to go to the bullpen, I think that would probably favor the Rays.
Because so I think you're saying the short series works in our favor?
Yes.
Okay. I think that Kevin Cash has more guys in his bullpen than he trusts than Aaron Boone at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, because, see, I've been going back and forth about that the last few days. Like, I just didn't know how to feel about that.
I think the Yankees might have the better bullpen guys, like the top end are
like
better.
Like the high end?
Yeah. Like
but in terms of the
Chapman
number of guys that you can use?
Yes. I think the better one, if you were drafting the bullpen guys, the Yankees would probably be the earlier selections. And then, you know, from like 3 to 7, you might go with the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just feels like Kevin Cash has more guys he trusts at the moment.
He does. He's got a lot of guys. It's going to be a great series. So what do we have after us? Barton Hahn, 11-1. Then we have Greeny. Then we have Max. Then the K Show. I mean, do you realize how long Michael has actually been covering the Yankees?
It's 29
like 30
years, right?
Years.
This was his 29th year, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing
That's
it
amazing.
Forever. So, I mean, you don't need to look anywhere else but the K Show at 255 all the way till 7 for your Yankees insight.
And by the way, too, Dave, because I was thinking about this bothered me all weekend. They decided to do the top four, and we had Don on and everything else about the top fours. Then you weren't even in any of the top fours, which is upsetting a little bit. Of course, Carlin is going to be everyone's favorite, and he's going to have all the time to check. What else does he have going on not to check? He can check in whenever he wants.
Yeah. He's got nothing.
He's got nothing going on. To our defense, I mean, I got 3 kids. You got 2 kids. I mean, yeah. Candy's got all sorts of charity, everything else going on. He's preparing some, you know, certain thing. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on here.
I mean, Carlin's, at the drop of a hat, he's ready to go.
Exactly right. What else is he doing? Of course he's got time to check in. Got no kids, no responsibilities. I mean, that's it.
Nope. He's always ready to talk.
See, so, I mean, I think that should be baked in.
I think
got stuff going on.
I still think those ratings are not legitimate. I would contest them. I would contest
but
them.
But, I mean
Don's entire rating system is based on how long he's known you. Right, like if Don's known you for 20 years, you're in his top four. That's it. Because think about when he called us and said, "I got Carlin. I've known him for 27 years. Even when I was at the other station, he was my guy. Right? Went out to lunch with him. So I've known him forever. Alan Hahn, 20 years. I've known him. Larry Hardesty, I've known him for 20 years. Gordon Damer, I was at his wedding. Known him for 20 years. It's all about longevity.
I hate that system. I got family members I've known since the day I was born. I hate them. I hate
right.
Him.
Exactly. That, not Don. If Don's known you his whole life, he adores you.
Now, is it a Jalen Ramsey Golden Tate kind of hate, or is it a...
No, I don't think it's...
Level
it's not. It's not that level, but it's close.
It's not that level?
No, okay. No, it's close. Right. I mean, if you could trade or DFA family members, I would do it.
Yes, but not wait outside the locker room to maul
no.
kind of
hate. No, I only have so much energy. I only have so much energy.
Special kind of hate.
Can I ask a quick question, David?
Yeah, Carlin texting, strange.
Coming in hot,
thing,
Dave.
By the way.
Coming in hot.
I don't know if I should even read what he wrote.
What is he saying now?
Do you really want to hear this?
Well, this is just more proof. This is just more proof he's got nothing going on.
When you hear this, you're going to think he's an idiot, honestly. And I like Chris a lot. I wasn't dumb enough to have children. Children ruin your life. I mean, it goes on, but I don't think I need to.
That's some conviction.
I mean, that's like the most preposterous thing I've ever heard.
Can you imagine that grocery bill?
Children ruin your life.
Can
you
I ask
imagine your life without your kids?
No. I'm thinking about having another one. Almost shot up the club last night. question about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rub this in with Santi. They make it a 3-point game.
Rub it
which
in.
Which is incredible.
Why do they onside kick it?
No, not onside kick it. There's plenty. Why are you squib kicking it the way you squib kicked it? Now they got the ball at the 50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You think they run that Odell play if they're in there? I mean, if they're at the 25,
their own 17 or 25? No. The Cowboys ridiculous. Are bad.
It's ridiculous. I had no idea why they did it. It seemed foolish to me.
Bad football team.
Time to look in the mirror, he says. Carlin is a savage, man. I'm telling you. This dude is a savage.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
He's
like
got
an assassin.
He's got no... No conscience.
He has no emotions at all.
None.
No.
He says some crazy stuff and he believes.
He's got nothing to lose, boys. He's got nothing to lose.
He really does. He has nothing to lose.
I would say I would argue wait.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's aggressive. All right, so let's spend 90 seconds on the basketball and then we can get into some baseball predictions. Chris, you're fine, right? Lakers lost last night. Jimmy Butler's sensational, but you're not worried about this thing.
I'm not worried about it, but I just feel like last night was an opportunity to slam the door shut. I mean, you're already up 2-0. It should be 3-0. I mean, they had no Bam Adebayo, no Goran Dragic. I thought last night was an opportunity to just put your foot on their throat. Jimmy Butler goes off for a 40-point triple-double, and, I mean, the Miami Heat are still in this thing. Like, I still think that it's going to be a gentleman's sweep and the Lakers will get done with this in five, but – I mean, I just don't like the fact that they're letting a team like Miami hang around just because I know how scrappy Miami can be. And Bam Adebayo is going to come back at some point in this series. So I didn't like it.
That's
I didn't like the
check,
fact
huh?
that AD had a quiet night. He only had 15 points. Like, that was a very uncharacteristic performance by the Lakers. They got down early, and I guess they tried to claw themselves back into it in the second quarter like they did in game two. But I just – you got to be careful with this Miami Heat team, man.
Yeah,
they're not going to roll over.
Fight. They will fight. I mean, yeah. You talk about a gut check, Rick. How good is Spoelstra? And how determined is that team? No point guard. Their power forward is out, and they still find a way to beat you. I mean, that's a terrific job by them.
No, I mean, it's a well-coached team, and there's no quit. And I think that starts with Jimmy Butler and the leadership he brings. And I think it's let's be honest, too. I mean, LeBron James and that Lakers team is fine, and it's better for his – it's better for the conversation surrounding this championship that it wasn't a four-game sweep and how easy it was. For all the LeBron detractors out there. Oh, it was so easy.
Well, it's clear he didn't feel that way at the end of the game.
Well,
he did not feel that way at the end of the game.
He was not a happy guy.
Yeah.
At all.
Anthony Davis was not good in the first half. Anthony Davis was bad in the first half.
No, that was the worst game Anthony Davis has played in this postseason. He was not good.
And the positive for LeBron James is now, I mean, as long as they win the series, it wrapped up NBA Finals MVP.
Probably
yeah.
so.
Yeah, he'd unless be the first guy Davis to do it in bonkers. Three different teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So what do you say, Rick? Yankees, Rays. How many?
I asked Milo. I consulted Milo. Believe this or not. I mean, he's
going to say Yankees in four.
And he said Yankees in five.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Milo said Yankees in five.
Chris, you want to make a prediction or because you're heavily involved, you don't want to?
I think it'll be the Yankees in five.
Yankees in five?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll go out on a limb here. Rays in four.
You're a bad guy.
Rays in four.
You wanted to say that so you could be a bad guy.
Rays in four.
You know what? Carlin was right about you, Dave.
I'm the
you're just a bad guy. You have some clear character flaws. There are some things wrong.
No doubt about that. But I do love my children.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.